This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and like, you're the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brown, because like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because no.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Memories of the Eric Wood roast right there. Here's a man that's been on many shows. He's trying to think of a comp for Davis Maddock in sort of in a fantasy football, fantasy sports context. Like, who's a guy, I'm a little old for this, but who's a guy that, like, Bulldog, you would see, and you would always be excited to see him on, like, late night talk shows. Like a Bill Murray. Whatever show you tune, who's on Letterman tonight? Even Carson, I'm sorry, it's a long time. Who's on tonight? Bill Murray, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Davis here, I mean, he's got his own stuff, Sports Grid, but also, I mean, oh, Swolecast, there's Davis Maddox, Ship Chasing, Legendary Upside. Davis, I mean, I don't know, Bill Murray, I think you probably are, you know who Bill Murray is. I mean this all as a compliment. You are somebody that I'm always happy. This is the point now.
This is going great so far.
I'm always happy to hear that you're going to be on a show that I'm turning on. That's the point.
I will take the Bill Murray comp. The Bill Murray comp is extremely complimentary. I'm 31 years old, so I'm old enough to have fond memories of Bill Murray.
In like what? Groundhog Day Bill Murray, maybe, right? Like not SNL.
Correct. Yeah, Groundhog Day, Caddyshack. That's my Bill Murray memory.
That's fine.
That works. Yep.
Well, welcome back, Davis. It's been a while. I know some of your takes, not all. We're talking every day around here about the Bills and the draft and wide receivers. Say you're a Chiefs guy. Say you're a Bills just for today. Say you're a Bills fan. What's the best case scenario for you in round one? And if we're talking about like these receivers whose names are being bandied about constantly, all as possibilities late first, are there a few of them where it would pretty much be the same thing, where you would feel good for the Bills?
I mean, I think best case scenario for the Bills is that somehow all of this wide receiver chatter we're hearing is a lie. It's smoke. It ends up being a huge offensive line draft, ends up being a huge cornerback draft. And they find a way to get Brian Thomas Jr. without having to give up any additional draft capital. I think second after that would be trading up to take Brian Thomas Jr. And then other than that, I mean, it's kind of controversial. They're very polarizing. The two Texas guys, Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. Worthy, I think, probably is not the wide receiver that the Bills need. They have a lot of guys who have duplicative skill sets with them. But if I'm a Bills fan, I'm welcoming A.D. Mitchell to Buffalo with open arms.
The thing that appeals to me about Worthy, I decided an hour ago to starting our show that Worthy is my new favorite idea. So this is going to go great for us. The Bills they have small guys, Davis, but they do not have that speed. Like they just have not had that really. Going back, I can remember feeling this way after the 2020 AFC Championship game when Tyreek Hill danced on the Bills. Like, I need some of that. I need some juice. I don't have any of that. And the Bills really never have gotten there. So that's appealing to me about Worthy.
I think that is totally valid. having someone that is that fast, having someone that is that game breaking, that can turn, you know, a 21-17 game in the fourth quarter into a 24-21 game on, you know, one end around one slant, I think is totally appealing. I don't think Xavier Worthy would be a bad pick. I just don't think it's the one that Buff. I just find it very unlikely that would be the pick that they would make, because, I mean, I think their plan is for Dalton Kincaid and for Curtis Samuel to own the middle of the field. But again, I don't think it would be bad. And I mean, this is going to be an unpopular opinion on Buffalo Talk Radio, but I don't think that the Bills should be beholden to the fact that they just spent a first round pick on Dalton Kincaid in building their 2024 offense and saying, we have to make sure that Kincaid gets seven targets a game. Like, if Kincaid works out, it's awesome, but definitely don't let it preclude you from picking good players this year.
Boy, I'm 100% with you on that. I mean, I like Kincaid a lot as a prospect. I think a lot of Bills, you know, observers do. But as this is all unfolding, you know, the Bills have been compared. I mean, they're bringing up the rear, chasing the Chiefs here with their two Super Bowls and the playoff wins over the Bills. But you hear a lot like, well, a couple of years ago, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, and, you know, they followed it, was win two Super Bowls since then. I'm like, they've got Travis Kelce, and I get pushback from Bills fans. Well, Dalton Kincaid, I'm like, slow down, okay? Like, maybe he becomes the best tight end in the league eventually, but year two, I'm not ready to bet on it.
I wouldn't bet on it either. I mean, that is a good point that Kansas City was able to make an offense work last season with Kelce and Rice dominating the short area targets. I do think we'll see, from Kansas City's perspective, they realize they flew too close with the sun with that decision making, and they are going to go the total opposite way. I mean, they already acquired Hollywood Brown. I think they're very likely to take a wide receiver at 32, maybe even a trade up. And I do think it will be more of a field stretching type of guy. I honestly hesitate to even say this, but I think the worst case scenario, if you're the Bills, is Keon Coleman. I think that is too volatile of a profile to spend this, like Buffalo really has got to get this pick right. Like, a Quentin Johnston situation with this pick is not good, and I think Coleman has very high QJ potential.
With Davis Maddock, interesting you bring up the possibility of the Chiefs trading up, because this year I think they would be able to, unlike, was it last year when they picked last and they hosted the draft and they had the big ceremony, and they were just, I felt like there was no way they were able to make a trade if they wanted to, right, having the last pick. That was last year, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they
yes.
won the Super Bowl the year before.
Yes, yeah, okay. You're so right. I mean, it's because people had kind of bandied that around, which is, you know, like they want to end the evening with the pick. You're right. I mean, I don't think they will trade up. Just organizationally, they're kind of opposed to trading up. They're more like the Patriots trying to trade down or actually just trade picks for veteran players. I'm pretty sure the Chiefs are going to stand pat.
When we know we'll have been right about this is when they make a trade up with the Lions. And then the Lions will have the last pick at their year of hosting the draft, and they'll do whatever they're going to do. With Davis Maddock, you make that point about Kincaid. You know, you're saying the Bills should be careful not to, in one way of putting it, maybe force him or just, like, try to make sure you're doing your utmost to justify that pick would be another way. That's good logic, but teams do that all the time, you know? One thing about here is they have a different offensive coordinator, and the story we got fed last year, Davis, was that Ken Dorsey really wanted the Kincaid piece and, you know, multiple tight end formations and different things. That might be where they end up. I mean, Kincaid is first-round capital, and Knox gets money. Like, he's really paid here. But no, you're right. Teams do that all the time, but they shouldn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, contracts are going to end up – I mean, just look at any number of organizations with a bunch of highly paid veterans. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that we've liked about coaches like Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll or whatever is that they don't care about who is getting paid the most money. But that's kind of an organizational cachet thing. And, I think the Bills coaching staff is pretty strong, so I don't think that's likely. And, I think the vast majority of outcomes is Kincaid's like a pretty good – player who will deserve the targets that he gets. But the thing I'm worried about is that I don't know how far the offense goes, if they stick to the plan they did last year where the throws got closer and closer to the line of scrimmage after Joe Brady took over, I think Josh Allen's ultimate ceiling is actually playing much more vertically, and they get the, and that was kind of the problem with Diggs was as he aged a little bit, he just was less effective down the field, and that was kind of the changing context to the Bills' offense.
Right, and that's where the Worthy thing comes in. But A.D. Mitchell is plenty fast, too, in a much bigger body. Just talk a little bit about like him as an idea and a fit within this receiver class. Because I've crushed on as many as a half a dozen of these guys as we've made our way through, like since February up to now here, and the draft is still a week off. So I don't know, I still have time to find another guy, I suppose. But Mitchell has spent a significant amount of time at like the top of my wish list.
Well, depending on who you ask, A.D. Mitchell is either this super fascinating college prospect or just like the total biggest bust that you're ever going to find. His like a lot of his advanced stuff, his yards per route run, his share of team yards and things like that don't look that good. I'm zooming out even further than that instead of zooming in, which is he started as a true freshman on a Georgia team that won a national championship. He scored 4 touchdowns. You know, he was in there and actually – Jermaine Burton transferred to Alabama because he didn't think he was going to be able to stay ahead of A.D. Mitchell. And the guy played 5 college football games and scored 5 touchdowns. I think he wasn't 100% utilized as a guy who could dominate an offense in college, but I think he can. I mean, it just like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm the greatest film watcher of all time, but when I watch him play, I'm like, yeah, that guy looks like a type of guy who could become Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, like that style of guy to me.
What then, Davis, do you do, if anything, with the stats? Production. This is Brian Thomas also, at least generally. Yards per route run, right? That's what I keep hearing about listening to fantasy podcasts is look out, yards per route run. You've got the guys at the top of this class who are like double Mitchell and maybe Thomas. So is that irrelevant to you? Is it easily explained away? Kind of a little bit of what you were just doing, you're focusing on. I'm sure you know like the how it sounds to guys like me, or maybe may I say us, when you eschew those statistics and you focus on small samples like playoffs and touchdowns and things like that. You know that you're going to get pushback.
So it's definitely super relevant, right? I mean, there's a reason why A.D. Mitchell had the combine that he had, came off the final season that he had at Texas, and he was a 4-star recruit. Like, this is a player who has been, and the NFL has been aware of him for a long time. There's a reason why he's not viewed as a top 4 wide receiver, top 5 wide receiver in this class, and it's because he played with a lot of other NFL players, and he really was not better than them. You know, Xavier Worthy had more yards than them. Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers had more yards, more receptions, more targets than him when they played together at Georgia. From a archetype standpoint, what you would say was that he, if he busts, we'll go back and look at it, and we'll say this is a Henry Ruggs, Marquez Valdez-Scantling style guy, like incredible speed, great agility, great size, like just like a physical phenom. But when he gets to the NFL level, defensive coordinators are aware of him. He's got to learn an NFL playbook. He's got to finalize all the small nuances of his game. He just never really had that ability. My overall philosophy is I tend to bet on the tools and they figure it out at the next level versus the guys who, for example, Ladd McConkey, who I've seen mocked at the back end of the first round. Ladd McConkey is going to be a good NFL wide receiver. I think it's almost impossible for him to be a great NFL wide receiver, just given his physical tools. And he has got good physical tools, but not great physical tools.
Okay. If we have time to get off the Bills, we will, and we hope to. But I told you already, I want to ask you about running back here in this draft. I know. Running back draft capital. Bulldog is ready to spank me for this. I mean, I'm not talking about the first or even the second round, hopefully. But
Sunday. If there's more rounds on Sunday.
If they extend the draft to Sunday.
12 rounds.
I'm in. No. Is there a player or a type even? You've got Cook. Ty Johnson, I think, impressed them. Also, Josh Allen literally ran for 15 touchdowns last year in a season when they were trying to curtail that. What would you do? What would your running back plan be if you were they?
I mean, I definitely think that there's enough indication that they want another guy in there with James Cook. Like they were playing with Latavius Murray. They were playing Ty Johnson. They signed Damian Harris to the contract last offseason. And then he ends up medically retiring this offseason. The three guys I would highlight, Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State University. He was the leading FCS rusher last year. Kamani Vidal, another small school guy who shouldered like 90% of his team's carries. And then if they wanted a pass catching back and kind of wanted to maybe have Cook add 5 or 6 pounds in the offseason and concentrate more on his early down stuff, I am obsessed with this pass catching running back, Dylan Laube from the University of New Hampshire. He's got more receiving yards in his college career than some of the wide receivers who were going to go in the first round, more than A.D. Mitchell, more than Xavier Worthy, more than Keon Coleman, which is kind of insane. And I think some team is going to take him on day three, and he's going to step in and like immediately be like a really good third down back.
Yeah. There's another guy that was converted from receiver that I've been only hearing. Tyrone Tracy?
Tyrone Tracy from Purdue. Yeah. He originally was at Indiana as a wide receiver. He converted to running back. He's probably, I think sadly, he is probably the type of guy who's very interesting, but for the NFL, offensive weapons really are only so valuable because it really just means the coaching staff doesn't know what they want to do with you, right? Like they know that you're fast. They know that you should be able to generate positive yards on offense. I think he'd be a good day three, and he's a good special teamer, good punt and kick returner. They need to replace that because Hardy's not on the roster anymore, so he would be an interesting add.
Jumping back to receiver here, and not so much as it pertains to the Bills, but the top three guys, like we talk about the guys that'll be maybe in the Bills neighborhood, lower half of the first round. How do you have the top three guys, Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Odunze stacked yourself, Davis?
Yeah, I mean, I have them. I have them in that order. I think I actually think they're all a tier of their own. I think Harrison is in a tier of his own. I think Neighbors is in a tier of his own. And I think Odunze is in a tier of his own. Does that mean either of them would be bad picks or reaches inside the top 10 picks? Absolutely not. I think they're all likely to be, 7, 8, 9, 10-year starters in the NFL. I do think with Harrison, he will immediately, by week five, will be like, yeah, this guy is basically as good as Jefferson and as Chase. Neighbors, maybe I'm 3% concerned that he played in a very, a big number friendly system with a great college quarterback, and then Odunze is he's just going to be in a super elite possession wide receiver. I don't think he'll stretch the field nearly as much as the other two, but I think he's just going to be extremely solid.
Last thing quickly, who do you predict will make the McCarthy mistake?
The Minnesota Vikings, I think, are going to trade, they have 13 and 28, I believe. They have two 10. First-round picks. Yeah, they're 10. Yeah,
11 and 23. 11
and 23. 11 and 23.
11 and 23.
Yeah, yeah.
11 and 23, yeah. They're trading up to 5 with the Chargers pick, and they're going to take J.J. McCarthy.
Perfect sense for L.A., but maybe it'll work out. Who knows? Who knows about any of this? Davis, thank you. Glad to be invited into that Hardway draft. We'll be drafting together over there. That'll be a piece of cake.
Yeah, beautiful. I can't wait. That's always one of the funnest drafts of the year.
Very good. Thanks, Davis. Good job.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
You're welcome. Davis Matic, Mattek. The Hardway draft is who thought, what was I saying yes to this for? Hey, Mike and Adam Krautwurst, the Deep End, our podcast. Hey, guys, we've got an opening in this Hardway draft. I know of it. Every year, it's an early June 1st, maybe. $350 against him, 10 other absolute sharps in fantasy.
Yeah.
What am I trying to prove? Why would I choose to spend, say we split it, $175? Maybe we could win, but
yeah. It's fantasy football. You know what you're doing. I don't know about Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, good luck with that anchor tying you down.
Exactly. We have a Jaden Daniels problem. You and I might, too. It's it's you and I are the Bills, so who cares whether you like Jaden Daniels?
I don't want New England to get him. I hope he goes to Washington at two.
Yeah, you're sort of afraid of him, and I'm not. I don't really think he's that good. But for us, for our purposes, so what? Like,
right.
But in these drafts, like, we could have a problem. I think we might be the first show that would break up because of a player take. Because I just
really
I don't.
You don't like him that much?
He's an amazing runner, it seems. But I can't listen to, like, he's better than Jackson or anything like that. Just, like, no. No. The Jaden Daniels, this would be good with Davis because Davis has been spreading the Jaden Daniels propaganda. I don't know. Like, I spared.
I wish we would have brought it up while he was here.
I know. I didn't think of that.
I would have liked to team up on you with him.
Yeah. Just, I keep watching these clips of him getting destroyed in the open field. When have you ever seen Lamar Jackson get hit?
Good point. It might be like five plays, though. You know what I mean?
It might be five plays.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know how big, but yeah, no, it is the thing that has been the most cumbersome to sort of get past if you're going to say, I like this player, because he does look like, you know, a cartoon character having an anvil land on his head.
Look at, that's not even this, though. Look, check out the Ben Solak chart on Daniels. Percentage of plays, maybe it's under pressure, maybe it's just plays where he got sacked, whether, like, stand and deliver is like the big piece of the pie. Stand and deliver is like 36%. And just think of, like he said, how low that is for a guy as good of a runner as he might be. Like Jackson, so many things about his game he doesn't get credit for because the running is so spectacular. This is one where he doesn't get hit. He does stand in the pocket longer than most quarterbacks and throw the ball. Like, that's what the scouts want to see. Mm-hmm. Great that you can run, but will you also hang in there? I mean, who was it last year that got out? Maybe it was Stroud, actually. One of the guys was dinged because he kept getting out of the pocket, and he had a great offensive line.
Bailing out too soon, that kind of rep.
Yeah. But Fields had the really high sack percentage, and, like, look out, processing questions, these things. Yeah. And it seems like Daniels might even be in that club. But I don't know. Just like with A.D. Mitchell, you pick the ones that mean the most to you. The traits, the stats, you pick the ones that mean the most to you and, you know, fire off your takes. 803-0550 for your calls on the draft, less than a week, or no, just over a week away. I don't need to rush it. Also, yesterday's Sabres news, the coaching change, we're here for your calls on that front as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, lines are open now. This is WGR.
With Xavier Worthy, I saw an ability to control that speed that was unique with how much teams are able.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
To take advantage of that speed now at the NFL level with how they're using motion, I think he can be such a weapon. I do think Xavier Worthy can be a guy who not only wins on just your go balls, but also wins at intermediate level just because that speed is such a threat.
Pick your flavor. That is Mike Renner, formerly with PFF on the Establish the Run podcast. ETR, I suppose, is another show where you could possibly turn it on and hear Davis. I didn't mention that one, but maybe the first time he's been compared to Bill Murray. I don't think I've ever been compared to Bill Murray, or have you?
No, I don't.
Here is one thing I thought about just walking the halls a minute ago. Davis said he was 31, and I bring up Bill Murray. I'm immediately worried that, like, that's too old a reference, but, you know, he's like Caddyshack Groundhog Day, which are not movies really, like, in that range of time. Especially Caddyshack is when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I didn't see it when I was 10, but I saw it when I was, you know, high school.
At an appropriate age, I assume.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. And, well, I'm thinking, like, well, how does that line up? And I thought, well, what would maybe Bill Murray's, we used to play the Phony Obit game, like, what would be the first movie mention in his obituary someday? And I think that's kind of a hard one. Because someone younger like that would know who he is, but are all the movies they know him from before they were even born, like from the 80s and 90s?
Right. I wonder how highly, if we were really playing, I guess we are kind of playing this game. I mean, we don't have an open for it anymore. Would Lost in Translation be a good idea?
Like that.
That was a highly acclaimed, and it's obviously much more recent, and a very different sort of role, for him too. I wonder, like that. As I'm laying that out now, I feel like that comes in the first paragraph, but it's like after, you know, how you first came to know who he was, right? So maybe SNL even is the first thing that gets mentioned in a Bill Murray old bit.
Which he was barely on.
But he was an original cast member. Like, he was one of the OGs there with Belushi and Aykroyd and Lorraine Newman and Jane Curtin.
Okay.
Like, he's the first. Garrett Moore, sorry, I want to run through everybody now and not leave anyone out. Like, he's a part of the first incarnation of that show.
Is it Chevy Chase that's like...
Yeah.
Later and barely...
No, he's there too at the beginning.
One of them wasn't.
And he left real early, Chevy Chase.
I think Bill Murray wasn't. I'm looking at that now. One of them was not in the first year.
Oh, geez. All right.
But
I'm sorry if
he certainly identified with that show. 77 was his first year. So maybe the second year?
Oh, boy.
Or third? Anyway, not a movie.
Right,
so
right.
What is the first movie? I don't want Caddyshack because there's too many other stars.
It's not a lead role. I mean, it's a memorable role, but he's like very much a supporting character in that movie.
Yeah. Groundhog Day is significant. It's why we call things happening over and over again Groundhog Day. That wasn't a term before that movie.
It wasn't?
No? Like, why would we say, oh, it's like Groundhog Day?
I think the premise of the movie springs from the phrase.
Does it?
I think. I've never thought about needing to do a origin check on whether the movie spawned that phrasing in our vernacular or whether
I think it
was
did.
There.
I might be wrong, but why would it have made sense?
Because Groundhog Day is always the same every year.
Okay.
So it's like, I'm going to go watch the Groundhog. It's Groundhog Day. Like, it never changes. So, I definitely don't want to be speaking with definitive authority here, but I'd be surprised if the movie set in motion Groundhog Day being what it is, like
and
the phrasing.
I want to say that it did. I want to say that it did.
Well, you like the movie more than me.
I love the movie.
Right. I don't even really,
I love
can,
Chris
really,
Elliott.
Really care about the movie.
I am a big Chris Elliott fan, and he is in Groundhog Day. Yeah, I love that movie. And I think, because the plot is that he's living the same day over and over and over, the Sabres are on a 13-year playoff. It's like Groundhog Day with the Sabres. Like,
right.
It is so commonly entrenched now in the vernacular, like everybody knows what that means.
I think Ghostbusters, even though
Ghostbusters,
he is shared, you know, it's he is the guy
he's the main guy
and that movie. I mean, they're still, sadly, tragically, even they're still making I don't even know. There's another thing coming, or is it out already?
Just came out this year, Frozen Empire.
God Almighty. Anyway, can we get an original idea? Said the radio talk show host has been talking about wide receivers for 16 weeks in a row.
It's like Groundhog Day.
It is. Have you ever seen that movie? I think Ghostbusters would be Murray's. Like that's it to me. That blows that Groundhog Day or What About Bob out of the water.
Oh, What About Bob? I've been holding that back because I think it would be unfortunate, but I do think that might be right. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
He's the first guy you think of.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, whatever it's become.
It's a franchise.
It's a franchise, and I loved it at the time. I guess I still would if I were to watch it now. I just don't ever want to see any of these reboots ever. But the original Ghostbusters was pretty great.
Do you have a favorite line? I don't think it's great. It was big.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's fine. Is it great? Ghostbusters? Was it great? Just want to make sure you want that.
Yeah. I'm gonna stick by great.
All right.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
And it was definitely lasting impact.
The logo, everything. I mean, it's got branding. It was ahead of its time.
Famous lines.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Does he say uh-oh? It's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Like, that's famous. Right. My favorite line in Ghostbusters is, "The flowers are still standing." When they're all shooting at the ceiling and everything's blowing up in that one ballroom or something, and the one vase of flowers. That's my favorite line in Ghostbusters. Maybe it's Ghostbusters. I just feel like it doesn't really do him justice.
Eh. I mean, he's very funny in it. It's a very funny movie. I don't know. It totally works for me. I like it a lot more than you, apparently. But I think the level of that movie and the fact that it's still going on now, like spawning, and again, that's not, I wouldn't say to its credit, but it left a mark. And so I think Bill Murray dies, Ghostbusters is the lead.
Stripes wasn't big enough.
No.
But that's a funny movie that he commands.
Yeah.
Same. Stripes.
Yeah, and that's before Ghostbusters, I'm pretty sure. That, like,
Harold Ramis.
Stripes might be like his first real star vehicle outside of being known for SNL. Like,
you think it goes Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters?
I think that's exactly right.
I would guess the same thing.
Yeah. And even like Meatballs, he's in, remember that? Like the camp.
Yep.
That, I think, or that might have been spinning off of his newfound popularity and was just like not a very good idea.
We are the TIC, so pity us. That song, the campfire song.
I don't know that I've ever seen Meatballs.
I did. Clearly, right? I remember the song.
Yes.
We like to smoke and drink and fool around. Yeah, that's Meatballs.
Yeah.
Is that it then? Are we home? Is there anything else that needs to be mentioned? Lost in Translation, I would not have remembered because he is so different in that, but I love that movie and him in that.
Yeah.
That it made me fall in love with that Roxy Music song.
More Than This?
More Than This, which was just another song to me growing up, but him in that movie, mm-hmm. like, what? Oh, yeah, I remember the song. And then I sort of, like, got attached to it and just, oh, now it's all different. Isn't that great how a movie can do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. I don't know what we're... I mean, you know, unless you want him at, like, celebrity golf tournaments or singing, Harry Cubs Carey games. Impersonations or whatever you want.
He was just at something. And you went, oh, my... That's Bill Murray.
Really, really old.
What was that?
Yeah. A golf tournament? I don't know.
NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
I think it was at the tournament.
Yeah.
All right, Bill Murray chat.
A little
look at that.
Sidebar on Bill Murray.
Look at that. Speaking of golf.
Go on.
I want to disagree with something on the air that you said off the air. I shouldn't have timed this now because we don't have that much time now. Let me just, instead of disagreeing, like coming at you with this, let me just sort of ask you.
Okay.
Did you say off the air yesterday, you think playing alone will make you better?
It was a specific reference to my main objective for this golf season, which is to control my temper. Mm. I'm not a maniac out there, but once a round, I'd say on average over the last couple of years, there would be some, you know, swearing, like, God, just frustration, right? Like, everyone's been there.
Which you always hate that you did.
I always hate that I do it. I feel like a jerk. I feel like the people playing with me, even if it's my son and John Gale, are like, oh, here he goes. It's no fun. I know how I feel when someone acts like that while they're playing.
You're embarrassed for them.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it. I do feel bad for them, but I feel like you're having such a bad time. And like, oh, there's nothing but negativity about it. And so my goal is to control that. And what I said yesterday was playing alone, I think, is going to really help. Because in some screwed up way, if there's no one there to see me get mad, I don't get mad. Even though I know that the getting mad makes them maybe potentially uncomfortable, I just don't do it. If I'm alone, I hit a bad shot. Like, it's walk to the ball. Like, oh, well.
You don't get mad by yourself.
No. And
doesn't that seem sort of ironic?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't it be the other way around?
Right.
Because you don't want people to see you mad.
Right. It's almost like there's some performative aspect to it in my, I think I'm like this about, like, chores around the house. Like, if we're, hang a picture or, you know, fix this, fix that. And if I'm doing it with the kids and something goes wrong, I feel like I'm more likely to act out. Whereas if I'm by myself, like, oh, I got to solve this problem now. That was stupid. Yeah, but it's all in my head. But if there's someone there to watch, I'm going to give you a show, which is stupid.
Which you'll regret.
I am not proud of any of this, but I'm just being honest.
Yep.
So that's the point I made yesterday about golfing. I think it will help. I played the last two Tuesdays by myself, and I hit the normal amount of shots that I didn't like, and there was never, like, my breathing, nothing ever changed. I was like, that was a bad one. That happens.
Well, let me think about this now and bring it back up tomorrow. Perhaps on our Facebook Live pre-draft show, presented by Up. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I have an outfit all picked out.
So that noise was just performative. Presented by Upstate Honda Dealers. For great deals, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. We'll be on StreamYard 4 to 6 on the Facebook Live. That's what I should have said. StreamYard is our sort of way of connecting, but Facebook Live is where you want to be. WGR. Chris Trapasso coming up at the top of the hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Chris Trapasso, his weekly guest spot with us, talking about the NFL draft, which is next week, Thursday night, round one. Paul Hamilton as well, still to come today. Rasmus Dahlin, on this locker cleanout day for the Sabres, sounding somewhat like Tage Thompson did, talking about a relative lack of accountability and practice habits and these things. Here come the best players on the Sabres with what they think should have been different all season. You know, A, good, B, thanks, right? It'll be interesting maybe to know which players are not saying that. Because who are we talking about?
Yeah, right. Like, who are the guys that should have been benched? I would guess Thompson or any player has some example in mind. They're never going to tell you. Or they're just deciding to say the things that they think everyone wants to hear. Like, Kevin Adams got, you know, I think, pretty favorable reviews, not from everyone, but that he was direct and pointed and angry like he should have been, and players might just be falling in line behind him, whether they really mean what they're saying or not. I mean, I don't know. I know how that's – I don't know what's in these guys' hearts or minds when they're actually talking to the media, but it's very noticeable to me that the coach gets fired and it's like open season on. We're craving everything the guy who's in charge told us we're craving. I don't know. I just, my antenna go up a little bit when I see that.
If I may, one possible thing for me that could be it is players, if you load a question, do you think this happened? No matter what it is about, will often say yes. Like, it's kind of a lot of these guys, I think, are there to get through it. And so that's why when they're asked insufferably during games about momentum and about other just random things, they'll always pretty much agree with the person asking the question. Oh, yeah, that was important. Oh, yeah, sure. Maybe they think that. Very often I think they probably don't, but easier than sort of what would seem maybe confrontational or sort of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to sort of make the person look bad or anything. You sort of go along with whatever the narrative is this time. Doesn't matter. And so this is more, there's more meat on this bone, this idea that players were not taking it seriously enough. Like, you're really saying something there. But are there players who are saying that isn't how they saw it? And are those the ones we should suspect?
Right.
Paul will join us at 6. Chris Trapasso next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.